On the show today, we have Locate's very own Matt Furneaux talking about a latest study they conducted entitled Optimizing the Member Experience in a Digital First World. Really fascinating and some quite revealing results here, too. So check it out. On today's program, we have Mr. Matt Furneaux from Locate. Matt, how are you, sir?
I am doing very well. Thank you, Mike. It's good to see you. Thanks for having us on.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. And for those who may not know, Matt is calling from way across the pond over in England. So it's like, it's almost like what, dinner time there for you and breakfast time here for me?
It's 5 o'clock in the afternoon. I guess if it were a different day, cocktails might be calling, but Tuesday is a bit of a school night.
So. I hear you. I hear you loud and clear. So good stuff. Well, thank you very much for joining us and really looking forward to this chat about optimizing the member experience in a digital first world, something that we're all experiencing in the financial services industry right now. And you guys conducted a study, surveys, and you have some very incredible results here. So, but first of all, can you give us a quick overview of this study that you guys conducted?
Yeah, for sure. So we try and be active in researching the market. It's a great way of obviously learning things that we either didn't know or confirming some of our biases or challenging them, right? So on this occasion, we looked at the financial service industry, particularly in the US. We spoke to 1,500 consumers across different age demographics across the country, really just trying to explore whether there's kind of anything coming out of post-COVID behaviors which challenge our understandings or give us a better sense of kind of what's going on in consumers' relationship with digital banking and kind of all things fintech.
Right. And yeah, and as we all know, we are all digital these days. And based on the findings, that's what it's there too. So, but what kind of sparked this idea to get going here? Was it you guys wanted to get a better gauge of what's going on kind of post-pandemic?
Absolutely. So Locate worked with about 19,000 customers globally, of which, if I was honest, a larger number of those would be probably in the retail e-commerce category. We've got a great footprint in the financial services space. But as we've observed the kind of the behaviors in e-com and retail, we're kind of curious whether we see the same trajectory of behaviors changing and developing and emerging within financial services, whether that's retail banking, within the credit unions, or kind of all those different aspects of financial services. So it was our curiosity to see whether the things we thought were true were, and what we could do and say about those.
All righty. Well, let's get to it. So share some of the key results that you guys discovered, because I have a few that really stuck out for me, but what stood out for you in this study?
Yeah, so I guess a top level, and then I'll let you guide the kind of a drill down was,
sure.
I think we expected to see that consumers were interested in the convenience that came from digital banking services, if we use that broad brush. And we saw that, and 91% of respondents said that they had engaged in some shape or form with digital banking kind of in its broadest sense. So that was probably not a huge surprise.
Right.
I guess as we then looked further at a top level, we saw that not all consumers engage the same way, right, with digital banking and kind of all of that aspect of changing banking behavior. So whether that was in kind of age groups or different demographic profiles, not everybody was kind of responding the same way to these new opportunities to engage in financial services. But what was interesting was that we saw this sort of general curiosity that even though in some age groups there was a little bit of a natural reluctance to get involved, that there was just this kind of general sense of curiosity. And when it came to things like biometrics, that if you were to generalize, you might expect that maybe younger consumers were more confident around biometrics. Yeah. Actually, we saw that kind of across all age groups, there was a general kind of curiosity to get involved with the use of biometric authentication. So it kind of challenged some of our assumptions, but I guess the standing point of more and more consumers are going digital. I guess throughout pandemic, when branches of credit unions and banks were closed, there was what else were we going to do, right?
Exactly. If
you
were going to do stuff, it was a have to, right?
You had to use digital kind of points of contact. But coming out of that, where the choices returned, I think we're seeing there has been a shift of behavior. But more than that, kind of more of an interest in coming on that digital journey and kind of understanding how that will improve a consumer's relationship with a bank or a credit union for their benefit, not just for the organizations.
Yeah, for me, when I saw the findings, it just further solidified the necessity to have these digital services. So, and one of the ones that really kind of stood out for me, and I know it's probably no surprise, but I even thought the number was high, but only 2% of the millennial age group doesn't use digital banking or personal finance tools. I thought 2% was high. I thought it would be 100% across the board that they would be using it. But what do you think about that 2%? I mean, that just even, again, further solidifies the millennial, how important that millennial age group is as well, right?
Yeah, I think some of these stats do kind of cause you to kind of think about what that 2% community is kind of thinking like, and doing. It reminded me of another study that we undertook last year, which I think the result was something like 97% of online consumers wanted a kind of a quick, safe and convenient online experience. I'm thinking, so the 3%, talk me through why you didn't want it to be quick, efficient and safe. So yeah, I mean, the 2% may be outliers. Maybe we didn't phrase the question particularly well, but I obviously there's been that massive shift in that age demographic. And I think with my own kids, my daughter's 19 when she had her first bank account. Oh, 7-8 years ago, we had to go down to the branch.
Yeah, we did too.
Birth certificate and my passport, and fast forward to my son, who's a little bit younger. I think we still had to do that. But both of them now that are interested in challenger banks and more of the kind of the fintech involvement. Mm-hmm. Yeah, obviously everything is now online. So we're not surprised at that finding, that it's just as low as 2%. I think it's interesting that some of the older demographics are getting more and more involved. I say not just under duress, but because they're starting to see the benefits of the convenience, my gosh, yes, of being able to do the things they expected to have to do in person.
Yeah, it almost kind of throws the whole demographic argument out the window, because it just spans all ages, all that type of stuff. Everybody is very interested in this, no matter who you are or how old you are or where you're from, that type of stuff. But another thing that really kind of stood out for me was the trust aspect of it. And there was one stat in there that said 27% just don't trust digital. And those are that was based on among the reasons respondents are not using digital banking or personal finance tools. So tell me about the trust aspect of it, because this is a big hurdle to leap over in the financial services industry.
Yeah, and I think amongst the respondents in that question, I think there was 34% said they're happy with how they do things, and there was that 27% that don't trust it. So I think as we try and unpack this concept of trust when it comes to online banking services or financial services, there's a few aspects to that. One is just do you trust the organization that you're engaged with? Mm-hmm. You know, have you read about them in the press? Have they had data leaks? All that sort of aspect of trust. And then it's does the process that you're being asked to step through, does that feel trusted or trustworthy? If you're being asked to share information in a format which maybe you don't feel comfortable, or maybe you're not being given enough choice about the information that you use to identify yourself and what you want to do. So I think we see there's lots of different aspects to that trust element. But really interestingly, and we see this as a crossover from all the work that we do in retail and e-commerce, is something as simple as, and I'll give you a kind of an example which is close to my heart in Locate. So Locate, one of the things we do is auto-complete address capture. It's this tiny little widget that sits on tens of thousands of checkouts and enables you to enter an address in 5-6 keystrokes.
Yeah.
And it just saves you a whole bunch of time.
Right.
And we see in other research that overwhelmingly consumers think it's a more trustworthy process where they're able to go through that element of data capture, because they see that beneath the surface is real data that's going to make that process more likely to lead to a kind of a good outcome. So that trust element is to do with providing a user experience which feels appropriate to the process that you're engaged in, your who you are as a consumer, and the more that organizations can do to minimize the steps involved, but to make it clear why they're asking for what they're asking for. And if you can do something in one step that used to take three, a biometric identity verification, something that shows that you really care about that consumer's safety online, that all starts to build up. And we see from the evidence that there's a lot of consumers that are yet to be persuaded, but that's a great runway, right? There's a huge amount of growth there.
Completely. And that segues perfectly into my next question or next observation, that 47% of consumers strongly dislike additional steps when verifying their identities. We've all been there. It's like, how many hoops do I have to jump through to let you know who I am? But it's done for good reason, because of fraud and all the stuff that's going on out there, which can take us back to the whole trust thing too. But tell me about the 47% of consumers strongly dislike additional steps when verifying their identity, because identity authentication is such a huge deal right now, and making that process as easy and quick and seamless as possible, another huge hurdle right now. So what's your take on that, and what are your findings here?
Yeah, so again, I think we see crossover from research from other segments outside of financial services, that the more you remove extraneous steps, the more comfortable consumers are to go through the process that you've designed for them. And I think the frustration that comes from having to do too much of the work provides kind of an environment of what we often think of as bad friction. And if we were having a beer, we'd probably talk about good friction, bad friction. It's a subject that bores most people rigid, but I find it really exciting, is that if you get that balance right between appropriate steps, appropriate amount of friction, you introduce more of an environment of trust and confidence.
Yes, you're right.
You know, Amazon kind of changed everything with the one swipe, one click purchase. And we could probably all agree that, you know, a one click loan application would probably feel a little bit too loose, and that most of us would probably want a few more steps.
Yeah, you're right.
Finding that balance between taking away some of the stuff that you really shouldn't have to do, address capture, some of the other things that you can just get derived from your mobile device, and then focusing in on some of the steps that really do create, you know, this is definitely me that's engaging in this process, and what I'm attempting to do is appropriate to my circumstances. So again, that's sort of half the respondents. I might have expected that to be a little bit higher, but it doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, yeah. And that's a different take that I've heard from anybody else, is that bad friction, that good friction, that consumers would want a little bit of good friction, especially when it comes to identification, but not too much to where it's like, oh my gosh, I'm climbing this wall that I'm never going to get over. So yeah, so I get it. And that, which could take us all the way back to the biometrics, the stuff you were talking about, and all that type of stuff. Oh my gosh. Oh, this is fabulous stuff here. So I'm really thankful that you guys came on here. Anything else here that stood out for you personally, or any surprises that kind of raised your eyebrows in your findings?
Yeah, I think it was not a massively surprising piece of research, but as I pointed to earlier on, I think it reminds us that there's a lot of runway for credit unions, for banks to be thinking about improving those online experiences, and remembering that sometimes the same kind of intervention you can apply, but for different reasons. So a digital native, for instance, kind of wants things to be really simple and smooth because they just have very high expectations about living their life online.
Right.
Maybe a consumer or a member of a credit union who hasn't been accustomed to spending their life online, they don't want that sort of smooth process any less, but they want it to be logical, and they want it to feel that it's not rushing them. So actually, you might design a very similar process, but you're thinking about two completely separate cohorts and how they come at the process.
Yeah.
So I think the underlying technology that the organizations can use often will be the same, but it's really good to think about that UX kind of rationale behind those different consumer types and kind of why they want the experience that they do. And I think the great news is, whether it's Locate or anybody else, there's some really, really powerful technology that sits out in the market, not just for all of the kind of the huge multinational legacy banks, but even right down to the smallest credit unions or community organizations. They can tap in to really powerful applications now, online services that can ensure all of their members or customers can have a fantastic online experience.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. And the thing that I've learned from this conversation, Matt, is that, yeah, you have to be careful about how you're creating these, especially the identification, what you just said here, the identification process, you know, the good friction, the bad friction. So I've never heard that take before. So I think that's really important. You don't have to, like, okay, there's that one click and boom, you got a house, you know, or boom, you got a
car. Right?
It'd be nice. It would be wonderful, but hey, wait a minute. That's too good. There's that too good to be true scenario there, you know? So that's what I kind of gained from this. So anything else, any other lessons or learnings that you want to provide here from the findings?
I think it's just exciting that technology keeps moving fast enough to ensure that consumers get a better experience. We're going to do more of what we do online, but starting to more closely replicate that kind of in-person experience. So I think, you know, an example I might give is, you know, if I go into a physical branch of a bank, I ideally want to see a teller with no line. So I want to be able to go straight to the front of the queue and do what I want to do. If I get passed off to a kind of a modified ATM, I want to know that I can do the thing I want to do easily and quickly. So it's kind of thinking about those consumer expectations as you build those into digital processes. Mm-hmm. So you want to have that sense of I can do it right now. Yep. It's not going to take me through steps that are overwhelmingly complicated. And the great news is that the consumers that we spoke to, they're kind of hungry for this. So if we can continue to deliver good user experience, challenging those assumptions, thinking mm-hmm. about who our customers are, I think there's a fantastic future ahead for consumers, but also in the technology world.
Agreed, sir. Yeah, great stuff here, Matt. Where can folks find out? Where can folks find more details? Because we've only scratched the surface here, because there's a lot more to this than what we just talked about. So where can folks go to check it out?
Yeah, so come along to locate.com, L-O-Q-A-T. In there, you'll find a whole bunch of research material, including this particular study that we've published just a few weeks ago. So come along, take a read through, and I think there's some really interesting stuff there.
Good deal. And we'll put the link in the show notes so people can get right to it as well. And with that, anything else to add to wrap up? Any final thoughts here?
Hey, listen, I could do this all day. Just to say thank you for having us on. It's really great to talk to you.
I could too. I find this stuff very, I find consumer behavior, especially during the pandemic and then post-pandemic, fascinating. So you guys have pulled back the curtain a little bit on what's going on out there. So we appreciate all the hard work that you guys have done there at Locate. So again, Matthew, thank you so much. Appreciate the time and look forward to another conversation here soon. Well done.
Thanks, Mike. You are.